From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Solace, Security, Satisfaction. The text is found in 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 5. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. This is not so much one promise as an aggregate of promises, a box of pearls. The covenant is the ark which contains all things. These are the last words of David, but they may be mine today. Here is a sigh. Things are not with me and mine as I could wish. There are trials, cares, and sins. These make the pillow hard. Here is a solace. He hath made with me an everlasting covenant. Jehovah has pledged himself to me and sealed the compact with the blood of Jesus. I am bound to my God, and my God to me. This brings into prominence a security, since this covenant is everlasting, well-ordered, and sure. There is nothing to fear from the lapse of time, the failure of some forgotten point, or the natural uncertainty of things. The covenant is a rocky foundation to build on for life or for death. David feels satisfaction. He wants no more for salvation or delectation. He is delivered, and he is delighted. The covenant is all a man can desire. O my soul, turn thou this day to thy Lord Jesus, whom the great Lord has given to be a covenant to the people. Take him to be thine all in all. Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship. This small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help, free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. In the course of these studies in the Epistle to the Romans, Dr. Cairns has spent considerable time dealing with verses 21 through 31 of chapter 3. It is at verse 21 that the Apostle Paul begins to explain how God can declare guilty sinners righteous. This is the glory of the gospel, which all centers in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross, by which He took upon Himself the punishment due to sinners. The Bible declares that all who believe on Him are justified before God. As Dr. Cairns comes to verses 23 through 31, he brings the opening portion of a message called The Elements, Ends, and Effects of the Gospel. As we'll see, salvation is by grace, it is a gift, and it is by blood. These are its indispensable elements. Now, here is Dr. Cairns.
I allowed myself 3 Sunday evenings to deal with the section verse 21 to verse 31. We're making wonderful progress, and after 2 Sunday evenings, I've got to the end of verse 23. And we've now got to finish it all up tonight. We're going to read from verse 23, just to get the sense to the end of the chapter. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God which shall justify the uncircumcision by faith, or the circumcision by faith, and the uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Amen. The Lord will add His blessing to these familiar verses from His own precious word for His name's sake. Some years ago, a famous brethren missionary, at least famous in the United Kingdom, a man who had served some 36 years on the mission field in India, was asked to lead a discussion among young people in Glasgow, Scotland, on the subject, why preach the gospel? And as he stood up to lead that discussion, immediately his mind turned to the book of Romans, and he thought of a broad outline of the book, and immediately saw, here is the real reason why we should preach the gospel, or at least here are various reasons why we should preach the gospel. This is the outline he gave. We should preach the gospel, first, because of what man is. Second, because of what God is. Third, because of what the gospel is. Fourth, because of what Christ is. And finally, because of what a Christian is. As I say, the more you look at those 5 points of reply to the question, why should we preach the gospel, the more you will see that they form a broad outline of Paul's epistle to the Romans. And they are points, almost all of them, that are especially clear in Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 31. Here you will learn what man is, what God is, what the gospel is, what Christ is, and to a certain extent you will learn what a Christian is. So this is a very broad portion of Scripture as to its scope. I have, over the last few weeks, emphasized in some detail the glorious theme of this passage. It tells us that God, this is the important word, righteously justifies sinners by graciously giving them the gift of perfect righteousness, to be received without works, but by faith alone, in the merits of Christ's atoning and redeeming sacrifice. And in so providing this gift of righteousness on the merits of Christ, God demonstrates His own perfect justice, and He also demonstrates His own perfect mercy, silencing the pride of man and establishing His own perfect law. Now, it's easy for me to say that, but it is a huge theme that Paul is here developing. In many ways, Paul has taken the ministry of his whole life. He has taken the core of all his preaching, and he has distilled it into these few verses, so that what you have here is the gospel according to Paul. Now, we have dealt with the essence of that gospel, what it essentially is. We have looked at the extent of that gospel, that it has been manifested or revealed unto all. We have noted that as broad as sin is, and all have sinned and come short or fall short of the glory of God, that takes in the whole of humanity, Jew and Gentile. But as broad as the sweep of sin is, so broad is the sweep of gospel revelation. And then we noted the efficacy of this glorious gospel, that it not only reveals righteousness to believers, but it actually confers it upon them, so that the old saying that there's many a slip twixt the cup and the lip does not apply here, that every single believer, without exception, is eternally justified, irreversibly justified, and made acceptable unto God. Now we come to start at verse 24, and quickly, or as quickly as I can do it, to look at this major section to the end of chapter 3. We will look first here at the elements of this gospel in verses 24 and 25. Because here, first of all, Paul sets before us the means of salvation as set forth in the gospel. Verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now here are 3 points, and it's going to be very difficult for me simply to do little more than announce them. Salvation is by grace, justified freely by his grace. Emphasize the grace of God. It is so easy to read that. We all admit that right throughout the New Testament, indeed throughout the whole Bible, the emphasis is upon grace. For man's salvation. And yet there is nothing that the human heart finds it so difficult to come to grips with. Because of the fall, there is something in every one of us that wants to lay God under some obligation. There is something in human nature that wants to say that salvation may be a joint effort between God and man, or it may be an effort unilaterally on man's part that God will accept, but it cannot be by pure grace. That's the pride, the lying arrogance of fallen humanity. But if salvation be not of pure grace, it cannot exist, because we're dealing with a holy God. Grace or nothing. Yet how many stumble at that? I read of a Christian worker, I think it was around London, who went years ago to a very poor part of the city, to a woman he knew was in desperate straits, of urgent need. And he went with a gift of money to wipe out her debt, to give her a new start. He went to the door and he knocked once and there was no reply. He knocked a little louder and there was no reply. He stood hammering on the door until it was obvious. It was a waste of time, so he turned away. The next week he met her and he said, "I've been to your door and I was sorry I couldn't get in." for I wanted to deliver a gift to you that would help you through these terrible times. And she looked at him, she said, I was there. I heard the knock. But I was afraid to open, for I thought it was the rent collector, and I had nothing to pay. So I didn't open. C.H. Spurgeon used that incident as an illustration for one of his messages. And he said to sinners, it is Christ who knocks at the door. It's not a taskmaster, it's a Savior. He was with the good news of a debt paid, not with a demand for rent or payment of any kind. And yet, because it is the message of pure grace, of a work finished by another, of the merits of another making us right with God, because it's a pure grace, men thinking, I must do something and I can't do anything, they shut the door to the offer of grace. By grace are you saved through faith. All of grace. But it's not only by grace. This may seem to be a mere piling up of words or redundancy, but it's not. It is by gift. Notice the word freely. It means that he justifies us as a free gift. And that's why Paul goes on to speak of the gift of righteousness. He justifies us as a free gift. What does that mean? In John chapter 15 we read of the Jewish persecution of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he quotes the words of the psalmist, and he uses this very same Greek word that's used there in John 15, where he says, they hated me without a cause. That's how it's translated. We would say, to give it its proper terminology, they hated me gratuitously. I have done nothing to deserve it, but they hated me anyway. Theirs was a gratuitous hatred. It was not rooted in anything that I had ever said or done. It was rooted within themselves. Now that is the word that is here used. He justified us gratuitously. Not because of anything that we have either said or done. Not because of anything rooted in us, but because of what is rooted in his own being. He justified us by grace, and then by gift. And I want you to notice this. This salvation has its means not only by grace and gift, but also by blood. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now I must confess that that has caused me quite a lot of pondering. The more I read what the experts say, the more I realize most of them say nothing of what I want them to talk about. Justified through redemption. Is that what it's saying? I don't think so. These two things are connected, and I'm not going to try and work out the theological connection tonight. But what he's saying is we're justified by grace, and that grace always flows in the channel of redemption. Grace always comes through a crucified Savior. Grace always comes through the redemptive blood work, if you want it, of the Lord Jesus Christ. How he poured out his soul unto death. How he died a sacrificial death to pay the ransom unto God. To purchase our souls out of the slavery of sin. By the merits of his own sacrifice. That's how God brings grace to us. Thank you.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.